In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Open unto me, O giver of life, the doors of repentance. It's from the hymn in Matins from Orthros this morning. And this is a gate, it's a door for us to enter into repentance. And it's our gate, it's our door into the kingdom of heaven. It is the hymn that prepares us for Lent. Lent is a time for renewal. It's a time for conversion. It's a time for reconversion. It's a time for a deeper commitment. It's a time for dedication. It's a time for repentance, and it's a time for change. If we remember that the word penitence, or the word repentance, is a translation of the Greek gospel term metanoia, and it means a change of spirit. Something goes on in here that changes. Much more is involved in the observance of some kind of outward repentance. What is asked of us is a radical change, a renewal in that conversion. You ever ask yourself, or maybe somebody sitting next to you, didn't we hear that gospel last year? You know what I'm saying? Whether you're paying attention or not, the answer is yes, you did. You might ask yourself, well, why? Why do I hear that gospel again this year? Let's see if I didn't mark the page correctly, but I can find it. Well, why do they do that every year? From Romans 12:1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're called to be a living sacrifice. I know I've said this before, but someone once said, the problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar. So we have to bring ourselves back to God occasionally, because we tend to wander away, crawl away, go away. So we have to continually bring ourselves back to God in repentance and a change of spirit. And it's a lifelong journey. You don't just do it one time and then be done with it. Based on my experience, I'll be doing it until right before I go to be with the Lord. It's a lifelong journey. God, through the church, in order to exhort us to true repentance, sets before us the scene that we have today in the gospel of two men who go to the temple to pray. And by contrasting them, God gives us the example and attitude that I need, and that anyone who needs wants to come to Christ. Luke 18, verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee was a highly respected, as a zealous observer of God's law, whereas the tax collector is despised as a public sinner, collaborating with the Romans, cheating the people. And then the Pharisee prayed. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. The Pharisee thus prayed with himself. He didn't pray to God. He prayed with himself. In thanking God that he was not like other sinners. Oh, I'm not like this guy over here. Look at this sluggo. In doing that, he fell into the sin of self-righteousness and pride of his own achievements. Self-righteousness and pride. Hey, look at me. Look how good I am. I ain't like these other folks. So he depended on God for nothing. He did not consider himself a sinner, and therefore he did not even ask for mercy or forgiveness. St. Augustine says he despised the publican and declared scorn for him and was therefore guilty of judging another. He wished to praise himself and insult the man that was praying there, the tax collector. This is how not to get into the kingdom of God. That's not how you get there. It's the wrong way. Verse 13. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The tax collector's posture and his words express his humility and his contrition. It's the absolute opposite of the Pharisee's attitude. The heart of the publican's prayer is an appeal filled with trust to the goodness and the tenderness of God. It's an appeal to God. And it's filled with trust for the goodness and the tenderness and the love of God for mankind. His first words, God be merciful to me, a sinner, echo the opening words of Psalm 51, which is essentially a psalm of penitence. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. We say that every Sunday in Orthros. Every Sunday it's prayed. About halfway through. And it speaks to our heart. This morning that hymn, Open the Doors of Repentance, was sung. The fact that Jesus chooses to place these words in the mouth of the publican and so to make them the model of our prayer of repentance throws a great light on the soul of the Savior and on what He intends for us. What Jesus asks of a penitent sinner, and so for each one of us, is above all belief in and absolute trust in the tender mercy and the favor of God. The belief in and absolute trust in the tender mercy and the favor of God. To bring about that repentance, to bring about that sorrow for our sins. Verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Justified means he was forgiven and made right with God. In the eyes of God, it is the tax collector who is justified because of his humility. The Pharisee is condemned because of his self-righteousness and self-exaltation and his pride. Will God be merciful to me, a sinner? May we imitate the publican. May that be who we are. As we look at ourselves, as we look at others around us, may we realize the sin that we have, and then realize the forgiveness because of our sin. Christ is that perfect example of humility. He humbled himself to become a man, to die on the cross, to be raised again for our salvation. That's a lot to be thankful for when we know who we are in here. May we imitate the publican. I don't want you to have to go out and be a tax collector necessarily, but imitate his spirit, his words, his life. And don't trust in yourself for salvation. God opens to us the gates of repentance. He opens to us that door. Walk in and be a part of them. May we walk through them together. May we walk through those doors together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And may we use this time of Lent for conversion, for renewal, for reconversion, for a deeper commitment, for rededication, for repentance, for a change of heart, and for a change of spirit. And may our prayer be the prayer of the publican and of our heart. God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.